Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, come on. The field. He's got through. 35, 30. Broken intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. It's all presented by DraftKings. Paul Dottino, John Schmelk with you. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. Thank you for joining us on Giants.com and on Twitter. We'll be with you on Twitter for a few more minutes. Then you can watch the show in its entirety on Giants.com at 12:05. Dan Shanka from OurLads.com. They put a nice draft guide out there. And, of course, if you ever want updated NFL draft team depth chart, that's the place you want to go.
They're best.
On top of it, they have everything squared away. Dan, a former scouting guy in the NFL, so obviously great information from him coming your way in about 3 or 4 minutes. We'll have Dan on the air. But, Paul, before we get to Dan, want to update a few things that are on Giants.com. We could talk about them, obviously. First things first, we've updated our mock draft tracker. Go to Giants.com/mock draft. Obviously, everyone had to tear up all their mock drafts last week after the trade, and it's funny. One of the guys we have on a lot, Dane Brugler, who comes out with his draft guide, which I have right here, he had done his first ever 7-round mock draft the night before the trade got announced.
Oh, that's painful.
He said he wanted to run his head into a wall afterwards. But anyway, updating what it looks like for the Giants. There are some familiar names here from a lot of the mock drafts, right? You have Jack Conklin from Mel Kiper.
Right.
And this is their proper mock draft. Kiper and McShay also came out with their grade A mock drafts for certain teams where it's what they think will be the pick if they were making the selection. This is who they think the team's going to pick. So we have some faces that we've seen before.
Yeah.
Kiper, Jack Conklin. McShay, Shaq Lawson. New one. Shaq Lawson's teammate, Kevin Dodd from Bucky Brooks. Now, I've seen Kevin Dodd, Paul, be all the way in the second round to, this is the highest I've seen him to the Giants at 10. So that's a guy, we had a long talk with the guy that covers him for Clemson about him.
Yes.
And not a lot of film on him. Got better as the year went along. People aren't quite sure what he's going to be at the next level.
Well, especially because he's 24 years old. And, you know, there's some question as to, well, is he already too old? And how many things can you teach him? The lack of experience. But there are others who think there's tremendous upside with him once he does get that experience and that tutelage.
And, by the way, Leonard Floyd is another guy that's a little bit on the older side, too, from Georgia, just FYI. He's 24, I believe.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL.com, former scout in the NFL. He has Jack Conklin, Rob Rang, Ronnie Stanley, another name we've seen before, obviously. Dane Brugler, his colleague at CBS, who I just mentioned, also is Ronnie Stanley to the Giants. Peter Schrager still is Leonard Floyd, someone we've talked a lot about on this show. Chris Burke from SI, also Leonard Floyd. So those are the most recent updated mock drafts. As we take a look at, you know, what some of these experts have the Giants doing, but it seems to be a lot of front seven players, Paul, that are in the mix on defense or offensive line on the offensive side of the ball.
You know what's interesting, John? I haven't seen any mock draft at all that has the Giants taking a cover corner, which I think we both agree they do need another cornerback badly.
Agreed.
And the question becomes, well, you know Ramsey's not going to drop. The question is, if Hargraves drops to 10, do the Giants seriously consider him? Because I think the only other corner on the board for me that merits consideration at 10, and it's a little bit of a reach, but not much, is Eli Apple out of Ohio State, who I also think, to me, kind of fits right into that area between 10 to 15. And I happen to like him a lot more than some others do.
Very good measurements on him.
Very good measurements. A little bit of questions about some inconsistencies and also a run support. But
and a little grabby. A lot of penalties.
Again, that's part of his inconsistencies.
Yes.
He doesn't always shadow guys as well as he should. But he is a player who, in my mind, would merit some consideration there. But None of the mocks I've seen actually have them going in that direction or Hargraves falling.
Or a wide receiver for that matter either, another position of need that people have talked about for the Giants. So again, go to Giants.com/mock draft. That's where our mock draft tracker is located. Check it out. We also have Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. Grade A mock drafts, who they would pick for each team to make the draft as best as possible. We'll touch on them after our guest later on in the show. Twitter, thanks for joining us. If you want to continue listening, go to Giants.com right now. And if you're listening on Giants.com, now you can hear from Dan Shanka from OurLads.com. Dan joins us every year to talk about the draft, does a fantastic job. Dan, good morning. John Schmelk, Paul Dottino with you on Giants.com. How are you?
Doing great, gentlemen. Yeah, it won't be long now. We're going to find out where, after looking at these guys for a year, where they're all going to land.
And then we all have to start our work all over again, which is always fun. I'm sure you guys are already working on 2017. I don't even want to get into that, Dan, because I'm sure you guys already have some of these guys on a board somewhere that you watched as freshman and sophomore. But let's get into it. How much, and I've kind of started since the trade's been made with this question for all our guests, I guess it's a good way to start. Do you think the trade between the Rams and the Titans, and I'll even throw this in, a potential trade from the Browns to move down, which now seems to be a popular rumor that's going around, how much will that affect who could be on the board for the Giants when they go at number 10? What should Giant fans be looking for from the 9 teams before them when they pick a 10?
I'll tell you, I think it probably helps the Giants because it's going to push some other – obviously, two quarterbacks are probably going to go 1 and 2. I mean, you know, it looks like no matter if the Browns trade down, the only reason is somebody wants to trade up for a quarterback. So the two quarterbacks go on top, so that pushes the other guys down. And so I think it helps the Giants get a better player. Now, I mean, just because there's one available there, you got to make sure it's the right pick. So, you know, the right guy, that I mean, that's always the thing. There's year in and year out, people make, you know, questionable picks, whether it's injuries or what, or character, what have you, and when they can take a clean guy that's a pretty good football player. So, but I think the Giants are going to have a good football player there at 10. It's too bad that Miles Jack's probably going to be knocked out of the mix because of that knee, depending on how the Giants doctors have seen him, you know, and how they grade him and things. But we thought that would be a good pick, actually, for the Giants in there. I know there's other needs like offensive line and corner and things like that. But I tell you what, I think Jack would have cleaned up a lot of messes there if he could play middle linebacker for the Giants.
Dan, you know, I have to get right to that Miles Jack point because, you know, what we've heard about in the re-examinations that he and, of course, Jalen Smith also underwent just the other day in Indy, we've heard that he had a meniscus repair, but according to him, it was the type of minimal repair that allowed that stuff to stay in his knee, so there's no bone-on-bone, no cartilage damage, so to speak, that the repair's been made, he's going to be fine, he can play this season, and that the question, if there is one, is what it will do to his length of play, how long he's going to be able to play, will that knee hold up? What are you hearing in terms of how heavy is that worry to teams in this league right now, especially folks in the top 10? Because, look, I think you and I probably agree he's a top 5 player.
Absolutely.
And he's got no business getting to the Giants at 10, but this knee thing could drop him to 10. What's the scale in terms of how much that's being weighed?
Yeah, it all depends on the doctors for each team. Now, some teams will say, hey, we'll take him on the second contract. Others will say, hey, you know, this guy's going to be ready to go maybe within the first couple weeks of the season. It was concerning, though, at the combine on the original physical that there was some bone problem. I mean, Miles Jack can say, and his agent can say what they want to, but if there is some bone consideration there with that meniscus, that's a problem, and the only ones that know that are the doctors. So you can see if he starts sliding, you know, it's going to be maybe a little more serious than people think. But, again, the Giants doctors, they've seen him. They've examined him in the recheck, and if it looks like he's a go, then, hey, it's a great pick at 10. But each team will make that evaluation for their own ball club to see how he'll fit in and if he, you know, should be, you know, take a step back and let the guy go to somebody else right now. But, hey, he looks good in the video workouts and the workout that he had the pro day. He just didn't run the 40, but he's moving pretty good. And but there is a concern, no question.
Let me ask you this, Dan. Let's just say, and we're going to go hypothetical here because neither John and I have talked to the Giants medical staff. In fact, we're not allowed to, so we're not going to be doing that. But let's just say for argument's sake that a team says, okay, you know what, that knee is eventually going to be a problem, but we think he can give you 4 or 5 years before it breaks down. You know, he's not going to have a 10 or 12-year career, but we think he can give you something. What do you think about his ability to make an immediate impact, that he can give you enough over 4 or 5 years that he would be worth a high draft pick?
Well, I'll tell you, there's no question. This guy's an explosive football player now. I mean, you're talking about sideline to sideline guy that just comes downhill, and I mean he runs through people. In fact, I looked at him again the other day because he only played 3 games, so he wasn't doing anything Sunday. So I looked at him for the 3 games he played against BYU and everything. And I'll tell you what an exciting player! And of course he carries the ball on the goal line too and rams it in there. But yeah, he's an explosive guy, and I think that, here's the thing. You know, most players, if they're lucky, they'll go 8 years, okay? You know, if the doctors say he's okay, say, you know, 6, 7 years, may not hold up long term, well, you know, that I think that's a risk worth taking with a guy this caliber. When I was with the Eagles, you know, we took Jeremiah Trotter and the same thing, except he had an ACL, and the doctor said, hey, he may step off the curb and his career is over when he walks out of the draft meeting, you know, or he can last 8 to 10 years. Okay. Well, Trotter lasted 8 to 10 years. Now, his was an ACL. Okay. And then he had another ACL when he went down to the Redskins, you know, in free agency and then came back to the Eagles. But so, you know, it's a gamble, no question about it, but you know, I think it may be a gamble worth taking.
All right. Well, Dan, let me attack it from this angle then. If Miles Jack, obviously you just talked about, is a gamble. The way you have the board in your room, what would be a safe pick for the Giants at 10? Where you say, I know I'm getting a really good football player. I know what I'm getting. I'm going to be happy with him. If you're looking for that type of player, who would you be looking at number 10 for the Giants?
I tell you what, I don't think he'll be there, though, but a guy like Ronnie Stanley would be that kind of guy, you know, in my mind. I mean, he'd be a safe pick. Other guys like Buckner, but, you know, he won't be there. But he's a safe pick. You know, Stanley'd be a safe pick. I mean, now, you know, flipping to the corners, you know, when you talk about safe, Hargraves would be a safe pick in my mind if he happened to fall to 10. And a guy like Eli Apple would, you know, he's only played a couple years, but you know what? I think it's all ahead of him. And a lot of the people that we talk to, the secondary coaches in the league, really like this kid. I think the arrow is pointing up, and they like his size. They like his, you know, I mean, obviously he can really run. And you know, his stock is up with a lot of people. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Ravens, say, for instance, at 6, They need a corner bad. They're going to decide maybe between Hargraves and Apple. So maybe Apple doesn't even get to the Giants. But anyway, I think that those guys would, in my mind, Lawson, if he would go, I know he's a little bit short. You know, you like to have those more lengthy defensive ends. But, you know, great football players are great football players. This is a high motor, great effort guy and plays hard every down. And to me, those guys aren't risk. Those are guys you want on your football team.
The word on Jalen Smith was that he's going to sit out a year. And, you know, the knee is not good, and who knows what's going to be of him in 2017. He, to me, is the big pink elephant in the room because I know teams that have said to me, Dan, he's off the board. They cannot draft him. It's just not feasible to draft a guy who's not going to play for a year and may never even play again.
You know, because that nerve damage can be really, really, you know, tricky. Who knows?
Yep.
All right, so put yourself in the GM's room. You're thinking about this guy. You know about the medical problem. Is he draftable, first of all, in your estimation? And then second of all, is he any higher than a fifth or sixth rounder late in the third day?
No, what we did, no, he's not. I mean, we put him in a compensatory pick, you know, some team has got a lot of they're loaded with picks, for instance. You could possibly take them with a compensatory, okay?
Okay.
But, no, I tell you what, to be honest with you, he'd be off our board. He'd be on the sideboard.
He would.
If he makes it, we'll get him on his second contract, and, you know, we hope well. But hey, when you got a little bit of that drop foot and that nerve damage and stuff, that is really scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And you really, you know, it's just hard to predict that type of recovery. Dan Shonka, OurLads.com. Dan, you got a couple mock drafts on your website right now. The one that's the Our Lads mock draft has Miles Jack going to the Giants at 10. And the other player I want to target here is the player that your draft analyst, if I mispronounced the last name, I apologize, Dave Sivertsen. Who,
Sivertsen. Yeah, Dave.
Close enough.
Dave is a big Giant fan, so I'm sure he explored number 10 real close.
Well,
Floyd in there.
And it's funny, and you mentioned it. He has Leonard Floyd at 10 to the Giants, but I found it interesting that in Our Lads mock draft, you have Floyd dropping all the way to 29 to the Cardinals. And I think it kind of reflects, Dan, what I've heard from a lot of people, that he's a very difficult player to project because of the way he was used in college. How do you guys see Leonard Floyd, especially fitting in to a 4-3 defense that the Giants use?
Yeah, well, see, the other thing is his length. Now, you know, on I think Dave's mock draft there, he's got him listed what he was, an estimated 6'4 and change, but he's actually 6'05'5", and he came in at 244. So he's going to be a little bit long, I think, to play inside. Now, hey, anymore, a lot of linebackers don't necessarily have to be take-on guys in the National Football League. They got to be able to cover and be able to run. And if he can blitz, it's a bonus. And that's one thing. He's kind of a three-for-one guy because he can get off the edge and he can rush the passer. He can blitz. You know, he can cover sideline to sideline. And, you know, he can drop into coverage. So, in that, if you look at those things, yeah, he would be higher up the board. Now, we got him, you know, like the our staff has him a little bit, and Dave wanted to do a mock draft, and he left the Giants. I said, go ahead. So that's what he did. He put him in there at 10. And he, I tell you one thing, Dave studies the film, and he studied it for a long time. So he really liked him up there. We just had other guys that we want to slot. Hey, we'd love to see Miles Jack be healthy and go in there to the Giants.
You know, it seems to me, Dan, that no matter who you talk to, there is a consensus this is a defensive-heavy draft, and that bodes well for the Giants in that they're looking for a number of defensive players. How much does that affect what you would do if you're the Giants? I mean, for example, you mentioned Stanley before. Look, I think, in my mind, there's a big drop-off in the tackles after Tunsil, Stanley, and Conklin, and I don't think you're going to get a plug-and-play tackle after those three. Which says to me, if you're the Giants and you want one, you got to take one there if he falls to you, and then worry about defense later on. And even offensive wide receiver, as you mentioned earlier, offensively, I think you could get a playable receiver in the third or fourth round here. Would you agree with that assessment? And if not, how would it affect your drafting strategy?
Well, I put Decker up there, too, because I want to tell you something. Taylor Decker is a tough, mean. I mean, this Jumbo Elliott, too, right there, buddy. I'll tell you.
Oh, boy.
Decker's pretty tough. Yeah, he's pretty good now. And he's a very physical guy. So I'd put him up there, not at 10, but I'd put him. I mean, wherever he goes, he's going to start as a rookie. So, you know, but he's in the mid. You know, he's like 15 to 20, somewhere in that range there. And Conklin moved up a little bit because of his athletic ability. People realize what kind of athlete he is. And the other thing I'll say, I tell you, coaching has a whole lot to do with this. And the Giants got a great offensive line coach in Mike Solari. I mean, I followed Mike's career around, you know, with the different places he's been. I'd worked with him myself at the Chiefs. And this guy is a great offensive line coach. So he's going to make these guys better up front. So I'd love to see him get a tackle at 10. And is it Conklin? Maybe. But see, to me, Conklin may be a better guard. And we already, you know, with Pugh being there, being a tackle, kicking inside the guard, Conklin's kind of like that. His speed's a little problem on the outside. So if one of those two tackles, I mean, we like Stanley the best. We, you know, if he goes to the, you know, if he's there at 10, love to see him go there and love to see Mike coach him. So, you know, that's the kind of thing. But there's going to be other players, like you said, a little bit later at other positions you know, that the Giants will be able to snatch up at, you know, 71, a linebacker there possibly at 109, you know, another safety maybe, or a receiver at 40, like Michael Thomas out of Ohio State. Something like that, you know, that you wouldn't have to, you know, pull the trigger on a position like that at 10.
All right, forget the players. You mentioned Solari. Give us a scouting report on Mike Solari. What kind of offensive line coach is he? What can we expect him to do with the guys in this locker room?
I'll tell you, first of all, he's a great communicator. He's a great teacher. And to me, in my mind, that's what an offensive coach, offensive line coach has got to be. He's an excellent communicator with these guys in regards to taking talent and squeezing the most out of their ability. You can look at those offensive lines that he had at San Francisco, and they were road graders now. I mean, they just plowed out, and they were really good pass protectors. And, of course, the years in Kansas City with great running ball clubs. And then last year, I think Mike was with Green Bay and helped out in that group there. So, an excellent teacher, a guy that's going to get the most out of his talent, very smart guy, and he's not a holler screamer type guy, very intellectual, but he'll kick them in the butt when they need it. But a guy that's an excellent teacher, which to me is number one.
I want to jump back into the draft, Dan, and I think it's interesting. You don't have a receiver going in your mock draft inside the top 20. Your first receiver off the board is Josh Doctson, followed immediately thereafter by Laquon Treadwell. Assuming you don't think a receiver, and correct me if I'm misstating it, a receiver is worth the value at 10, what's the sweet spot here for the Giants in this draft to try to get that complimentary wide receiver to Beckham? Is it the second round, or are you thinking they get better value if you wait until round 3?
No, I tell you what, I think the second or third round really is going to be good for these receivers, because there's not a lot of sexy top-end receivers here,
right.
But we think Doctson can be a good one. Treadwell's going to be a good receiver. I mean, he's an Anquan Boldin kind of guy. If you can't run, you know what they say in the league, you can't run, you can't play. Well, here's an exception. He's not a fast guy. But I tell you what, he catches the ball when he's covered, and I hate to say it, but he's had a lot of experience doing that because people have been tight on him, but he's made the play. And kind of like Landry, remember when Landry came out?
Yeah.
Everybody talking about him not being able, you know, not being able to run this and that. Well, not Miami. He's done a pretty good job for the Dolphins down there. But Treadwell's a better caliber of receiver. So we could see him going late one somewhere in there. Doctson, he's a guy that, he's got great vertical speed, catches everything. But I think in that second and third round area, you know, the Giants can get a big West Coast type receiver catching the ball, a very physical guy like Thomas out of Ohio State. He'll be in that mix. But yeah, there's going to be some receiver in that second and third round that the Giants, I think, will certainly take a strong look at.
What do you think about Carew out of Rutgers?
I tell you what, really good hands, low drop ratio, catches the ball well. You know, he had some off-the-field shaking stuff,
yeah.
But he's a good football player. He can catch the ball and like him. Good player.
I got one more for you, Dan. A little bit off the board, though. Teron Beckham, Odell Beckham's cousin, who was incredible at his pro day, put up the kind of numbers that a lot of people at the Combine would have Googled over, or Oogled over, I guess is the appropriate word.
Well, they Googled them and then they Oogled them.
So, what in the world would you do in terms of quantifying his value?
I tell you, the pro day stuff scares me, because what really chaps me, to be honest with you, they, you know, even the ones you see on NFL Network and different, watch those guys. They don't make them lock out. They don't make them touch lines. They don't make them, you know, I want to know who's measuring the 40-yard dash, because
good point.
I was with the Combine, when I was with National, we measured that every time. And believe me, every time we found them short, okay? So, you know, the pro day stuff, you know, I look at what they do on the field, and then I want to get the verified information, but I want it verified, and for the most part, the Combine, it's a little tighter than it is these pro days, so I don't get too worked up about these pro days.
Gotcha.
All right, Dan, the last question I always ask everyone we've had on the last couple weeks, I'm keeping track of everything. If you were making the pick for the Giants, who would you select, and then who do you think the Giants will select?
Well, I tell you, I think they're going to end up probably at that spot taking a corner. I mean, I'd love to see him take Miles Jack, but, you know, I don't know the physical part of it. You know, that's the sticky wicket.
Right.
So I'm going to say I'm going to stick Eli Apple in there at 10.
All right, so that's your mock pick. If you were the Giants, though, you would take Miles Jack?
Yes.
There you go. I think Paul Dottino will be happy with either one of those picks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Dan, you and I are two of the people who value Eli Apple a little higher than others, because I think he is a fringe guy right there at 10. He would definitely be under consideration for me.
Hey, you know what, Dan? Real quick, I want to ask you one more thing, because you do a great job of wading deep into this draft class. If the Giants want to get in round 2 or 3, even 4, if you want to go that deep, a free safety that can compete with who's on the Giants roster to play next to Landon Collins, that can cover, play that center field, go sideline to sideline. Is there somebody from this class that sticks out to you that you think would be a good fit that can play that coverage safety role?
Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, a lot of these guys are those box type safeties.
Yeah, I
like
know.
The caches, and, you know, that's the sticky wicket. You know what I'd do? I'd look at for one of these other corners. That
convert
a
them?
Corner, you know, for instance, and then kick them inside. And so you got coverage ability, and then you got a guy that you can walk up and do things, different things from a slot and stuff. So I would, and I don't have a name for you right off the top of my head, but I'd draft a corner as that coverage safety.
Interesting. Dan?
I got a couple for you, Dan. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on. I got a couple for you. I got possible free safeties as Kendall Fuller, Artie Burns, and Xavier Howard, all as potential free safeties who I think, you know, we're talking possibly second round. Again, maybe a tad early for what John was talking about, but I thought all three of those guys could possibly play free safety.
You know, I like those guys. Now, I think Artie Burns, his stock is starting to skyrocket. And once people, you know, he came out as a junior and people saw him and really liked what they saw. So as a corner, his stock is going up. But, yeah, he's one of those kind of guys that could be that safety kind of guy. I think that, let's see, who else? Oh, Howard.
Yeah.
He's another guy that ended up running really good at his pro day. I liked him as a corner out there, and we have him like our fifth or sixth corner. But he's a possibility. He's a big guy. He's a big guy that can run, physical tackler, good ball skills. You know, sure, that's a possibility. Kendall Fuller, you have to see what, you know, he's come off an ACL, so he'd probably be third of that group you talked about.
Sure.
But, you know, but I would say Burns and Howard, first they're going to get a shot at corner, and if they can't do it, I could see them, you know, are doing, you know, right away, I could see somebody kicking them inside the safety. So, but yeah, that's a very real possibility. But most of these safeties out here now, like I said, are, I mean, we like the Von Bells. Sean Davis from Maryland. He's a guy you got to look at probably in that second, third round area. Maybe T.J. Green out of Clemson. He could be that. You know. And another guy that we like from Boston College, the free safety, is Justin Simmons, and he probably could be had in the third or fourth round.
All right, and guys that always look over all the tape like you, Dan, there's always a guy that you like in those later rounds that's just your sleeper. You go, you know, this guy, you can get him on day 3, but I think he's going to be a hell of a player. Do you have a name for us that would fit that description for you?
Yeah, I do, but I tell you what, I'll tell you the same thing I used to tell Mel Kiper when he called me when I was on the team. I say, Mel, if I tell you the sleepers, I'm not sleeping anymore. You know, but
he's awake.
Anyway, I tell you what, I really like this linebacker out of Georgia Southern, and I think that, you know, he's a guy that not a lot of people are talking about, but he's a good player, so I'll let all the fans go look him up, okay?
Absolutely, Dan.
Dan, before you go, I know we've kept you a long time, and I apologize, and I appreciate your patience very much. Is there any chance in the world that you guys have done any work previously on Anthony Doble, the Giants receiver who they picked up from Europe? Is there any chance you guys have any background on him at all, and you could tell us anything that you've seen on him?
No, I tell you what. No, you know, I be honest with you, the guys from across the pond, as they say, I kind of let those guys run because not a lot of them ever end up playing. I know everybody's running over Boehringer from Germany, you know, and stuff like that. But, hey, there's some here in the States that play football a long time. So, sorry I can't help you out on him.
That's okay.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Great stuff, and we'll definitely catch up real soon, all right?
Thanks Dan.
Again.
Dan Shanka, OurLads.com. Fantastic job.
They're great. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, folks. Our Lads is one of the basic mock people or the scouting services that I have always put much stock in. And I love those guys.
And we had Dan on our Friday show live when we did during the draft last year. We should do that again.
If he can. I mean, you know, he's under high demand. If we can get him, John, we really should. And they've been doing it a long time. You talked about his experience in the league. I know a couple of people who work with him. They're aces. They're one of my core guys when I go to look for draft stuff.
And here we go. There is a Georgia Southern linebacker named Antoine Williams. Shh. He's sleepy.
Don't want to wake him up.
201-939.
I didn't do any work on him, by the way.
4513.
FCS guy. I didn't do any work on him.
There you go. Maybe you should. And Paul Dottino loves the FCS.
I do.
All right. Hashtag Giants chat as well. Let's get to the calls. We'll have fun with you guys on the lines the rest of the way. We'll touch on the McShay and Kuiper grade A mock drafts as well. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. Bob in North Carolina has been a hold the longest. Bob, what's going on? How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. I love the show.
Thank you.
I agree with everything you guys are talking about. Just one stupid question maybe, but what do you do at number 10 if Ezekiel Elliott is sitting there? Some of the drafts have him going maybe to Miami after us. What do you think about that?
I know what Paul thinks, and I guess my question for you, Bob, before I give my answer, is that who else is on the board for me when I'm picking a 10 besides Elliott?
Well, you know, I know we need offensive line help. I know we need to work on the defense, but, you know, what a talent.
I'll tell you what, if I can have Vernon Hargreaves, if I could have Ronnie Stanley, if I could have Jack Conklin, I think I'd pick all three of those guys over Elliott. I think. That's not my final answer, but as of 8 days before the draft or 9 days before the draft, that's what my thought is right now. Paul wouldn't take Ezekiel Elliott if he was there 27th at the Giants.
You know, I think he's a terrific talent. I really do, and let me make that very clear.
I know you do.
The reason that I would not take him is because I don't think there's a running back, in my opinion, when you consider the lifespan of a running back, when you consider the lifespan of one of those players compared to impact players at other positions, especially on defense, it's not worth it to me. The value just doesn't equate. It's a philosophical thing. I don't begrudge Elliott in any way. I think he's a tremendous talented player, number one running back on the board without a doubt. But for me, no. And then put on top of that, the Giants have a bunch of backs, so I feel pretty good about. So I'm not doing it.
Okay. All right. I mean, I agree. I know we need to go offensive tackle, and we need the defense. I was just, what a talented player. I just imagine him with Beckham and Manning and, you know.
Hey, no, Bob, look, you're right. And if you went by strictly best player available and you're starting your roster from scratch and you don't have anybody and, you know, you're going up and down, you say the highest graded player on my board, he would probably be the pick. But it simply depends on where you are as a franchise, what you need and, you know, what you require to make your team better. And this is what I've said about Elliott, too. You know, one of the things that makes him so good, Bob, is that unlike most running backs coming out of college, he can actually be every down back. He can catch. He can block.
Right.
He can do all that stuff. But you know what? You already have a player on your roster that's going to play 20 to 30% of the snaps just on third down alone in Shane Vereen. You don't want to take Vereen off the field.
Right.
Yeah, could you use him in the slot?
No,
sure.
Vereen.
But, you know, so I think by having Vereen and you know you're going to play him, you almost take away some of Elliott's biggest strengths because you already have a guy that can do those things.
Put it this way. The best way to improve the Giants' running game is to improve the offensive line. It's not improving
exactly
the running
game. And it's also to improve first and second down, not necessarily third down. Right.
Exactly. Let's beef up the offensive line.
I'm with you, Bob.
Appreciate it.
Right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. 201-939-4513. Nuggs is in Minnesota. What's going on, Nuggs?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How are you? Good morning.
Did you get your tickets for the game yet?
No, not yet.
All right, we'll be at the stadium ship sometime early in the season.
And Nuggs, I guess that's I guess that's the second home game for the Vikings this year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So yeah, I'll definitely be there at the Stealth Stadium.
But, it does look like Stealth. Right.
Yeah, but I definitely don't think that we should I wouldn't take Miles Jack or anybody with any health concerns at 10. I think that at 10, our best, I think we should basically invest our first two picks in the offense. I think we should I think we should go with the offensive tackle, one of those top three guys that are one of them is going to be there. Whoever's the best tackle on the board, I think we should take him. I think Eric Flowers could kick back over to the right side, and if we draft a guy who's more like a pure left tackle, like they say Conklin might be, then Flowers can kick back over to the right side and play his natural right tackle position, and then we'll be set at offensive line. I think in the second round, I would definitely either look for the safety, or I would most likely want to see us grab another receiver, because I just in this league, just the way it's built, it's, you know, points are at a premium, and putting up points will always help your defense. If you got guys who can move the chains and we're dominating the time of possession, then all of a sudden a 30th ranked defense can go into a top 10 defense just for the simple fact that we're keeping them off the field, the other team's offense off the field, and making them one-dimensional when they are on the field, which will play to our strengths. I don't necessarily see a need for us to take a defensive end or somebody like that high in the first couple rounds, because we do have JPP for one more year, and I know we're going to need depth at that position, and I understand that where you guys are coming from, but I also think that there's a draft next year, and then we can draft a replacement for JPP, or, you know, the DNs of the future, you know, like they're always coming out. But I just think that this year we need to draft points, because our red zone percentage just killed us last year. And I just think that, you know, Miles Jack is a sexy pick, but we just got rid of a linebacker, or he retired, who was our linebacker of the future. And guess what? He couldn't stay on the field. So I don't want to draft anybody that's got any kind of a health concern. You know what I mean? So I think our safest.
No, you have some logic there. You have some logic there. And again, I think it all depends on the angle you're looking at. I don't have a problem with any of your logic. However, I do need to ask you a little bit about the secondary. You seem to want to go for a safety instead of another corner. Now, I think we all agree the Giants do need to upgrade their slot corner, their third corner, whoever that's going to be, because he's going to be on the field a lot. And right now, I think probably Trevin Wade is the guy, the incumbent that's on the roster. And yet, you know, that's thin, where Wade is the only guy on the roster, I think, who fits the bill. And then at safety, they got a bunch of young injured guys, but at least they have numbers who are going to compete. Why did you say safety instead of slot corner? Why the priority there? I'm curious.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, for the last few years, our team has basically been like a Corvette with a bad transmission. Like, I know if it gets on the road and it runs good, that we can run with anybody in the league. We proved that. But at the same time, I'm looking at it like, okay, you know, you're going to have guys that are going to have growing pains in their first year, you know, and if we're going to try to lock up our safety position because, you know, we got Collins, so whoever's going to be playing next to him, I mean, I see the logic in maybe getting a veteran, but that guy's going to be here, and then he's going to be gone in a couple years, and then we're going to be needing to fill that position. I'm just saying, if, you know, I'm not so much concerned about us getting beat by slot guys. I'm concerned about us getting beat over the top.
Yeah, but they'll kill you on third down, and they keep those drives alive, and they keep the ball out of Eli's hands.
Do you remember that Cole Beasley drive from a few years ago, Dallas?
I understand that, but a lot of times that falls more on the shoulders of our linebackers.
Nuggs, I got to be honest. In this case, I think that's flawed, because your pass rush can prevent the long pass by getting there quicker. no matter how quick they get there, if the quarterback is going to hit that slot guy in less than 2 seconds, it's a completed pass.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can't stop that.
And, Nugs, I would say this, too. I think you have a number of young players on the roster that you're trying to develop at safety when you don't really have
There's no depth.
I mean, is there a drafted cornerback on the roster right now?
Hosley's a free agent, so I'd say no.
There is not one cornerback the Giants have drafted on the roster now. So you have to get some of those younger guys to develop. No, so we're going to run. Thanks a lot for the call, man.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it, my friend. But look, I'm not telling you you don't want to pick a safety. You think a guy is there. But I'm with Paul. I think the slot corner is probably a little bit more of a need right now.
I mean, I will say when he mentioned, and we've talked about this for 3 months, had they been able to get a veteran free safety to pair with Collins, I would love to have seen them do that.
I agree with you.
It did not work out for whatever reason.
All right, let's go to England. Line one, Dave. I want to get him on before that long distance bill gets too jacked up. And that's Jeffrey out there in the in jolly old England. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi.
Great show. Love calling in every time a chance I get.
Thank you.
I have a quick question, and I'll get off the line.
Yeah, no problem.
I'm in the Air Force, and I'm in the medical professional field, and I'm a physician assistant.
Okay.
And my question is, with Miles Jack's concern, I don't know what came out. I don't know what the Giants have done or what type of medical checkups they've done on him. But what I know of the meniscus, especially in the knee, it is a degenerative issue, and is it safe for Giants offense, Giants management to take a risk, top 10 on a guy like Miles Jack? And I see the upside, I see the player, and I see what he can do. But with that type of injury, and we don't know if it's a third degree, first degree, what type of tear it is, if it's elongated, whatever type of issue the meniscus is, do you think it makes sense at 10? To take that guy, and I'll take your answer off the line.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I appreciate it. I think you also have to answer that question in the perspective of what was said by ownership and John Mara at the end of last season, and even I think at the end of this season, where they talked about in the drafting process maybe they've taken too many risks in the past, where guys can give you nothing because you're rolling the dice on somebody. And, you know, that can,
right.
You know, risk can take a lot of different forms. It can take the form of off the field issues. It can take the form of medical. It can take a lot of different forms. And really, it's just hard, guys, for Paul and I to answer the Miles Jack questions because, A, we're not medical professionals.
No.
B, the Giants medical people have looked at Miles Jack. They've done their evaluation. I can tell you that the front office and ownership and the people making the decisions in the draft room completely trust those medical people to give them good information.
They're some of the best in the league.
That good information, they will use that information. They're not going to say, well, our doctor said the knee's shot, but we're taking him anyway.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen.
So without us knowing how the Giants doctors evaluate his knee, it's really impossible for us to tell you whether or not it's too big of a risk. But you are rolling the dice on a guy that if it is, and again, I think a lot of this is smoked by teams, too, that want Miles Jack to fall. So a team that's sitting there, let's say, for example, at number 13. I think the Dolphins are 13.
Okay.
Draft, right? Let's say the Dolphins desperately want Miles Jack. So what are they going to do? They're going to tell their scouts and their doctors or whatever, whenever a reporter calls them.
Start chirping.
Start saying, I'm not drafting that guy. His knee shot. Did you look at his meniscus? They repaired it. It's still not there. There's bone chipping everywhere. There's cartilage degenerating all over the place. You can't pick this guy. He's a mess. And then they're going to go pick him at 13 because they want him on the board. So you don't know what to trust. We don't know what the actual medical is. We don't know the Giants' evaluation of the medical. So it's just really hard for us to answer that question because that's really what the bottom line is going to be when they make that decision.
Yeah. I will answer this question just for me. Let me take the Giants out of the equation. Just for me, if I were in a bubble or in a phone booth and you said to me, Tatino, you're the GM of this team, what do you need to hear to make him draftable at number 10?
God help us all, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know. If my medical guy said to me, I think there's a pretty good bet he can give you 5 years. That knee's going to hold up for 5 years. I'm taking him. And the reason is because usually your rookie contracts are 4 years, maybe with a fifth-year option.
How old is Miles Jack? He's young, right?
I think he's 23, maybe 22.
Let me look up Miles Jack.
That's irrelevant to me. Here's the reasoning why. My logic is Your rookie contract's going to go 4 years, maybe five. Okay? After that, first of all,
Paul,
in 5 years,
he's going to turn 21.
Even
in
better.
September.
Now, after 5 years, your roster's going to turn over immensely anyway. On top of that, many guys wind up taking a big money free agency deal, and they leave a lot of teams for that second contract as well.
All right.
Because it's a crapshoot.
But
so what I'm telling you is, give me Miles Jack. If I know I'm going to get five terrific years out of him and maybe even a couple of Pro Bowl years out of him, I'm taking him.
All right, let me reposit
this. Me.
What if your medical staff? Yeah, that is true. But there's also a 20% increased chance that he pops a ACL in the first 5 years of his career because of the strength of the knee. I'm just throwing out. I'm not saying that's true. I'm throwing out in this theoretical world where Paul Dottino's a general manager. So you understand how crazy this is to begin
with. I need my doctor to give me mathematical probabilities, yes or no.
I just gave it to you.
No. Well, that 20%, I'm still taking them.
Okay, that's fine. That's why I asked you the question.
I need to know, doctor, tell me, can I pretty much count on this guy? It's a good bet that he's going to give me 5 years of play. And if you just don't break it down for me. Just tell me, yes or no. Do you think I can get 5 years out of him realistically? Does it look like medically he's going to give me 5 years? You tell me yes, I'm taking the player.
Especially with the situation the Giants are in, trying to make the most out of Eli's final years. I see where you're coming from. Now, you might have to pay the piper on that later, obviously. But you know what? Jonathan Vilma, that was the example I've heard a lot of people give. Comparing Jack's knee to Vilma's, who had a really good 5-6 years, and then all of a sudden...
Right. And I'll take that.
Okay.
Now,
fair enough.
If you're going to be the doctor and tell me, Paul, I'm not real confident that he may not be able to last 2 or 3...
Then you're not doing it.
Then I'm not taking it.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that's a good logical answer.
Can you medically give me a pretty good rational explanation that he's going to be around for 5? That's my number. That's my number. Give me 5 years. I'm taking them.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. If you never played DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. DraftKings.com, promo code CONTACT. Claim your free entry today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Free to play. Rob in Connecticut's up next. Rob, what's going on?
I wanted to give you an observation and then ask you a question.
Sure.
Last year, I called up Bob Papa on Sirius and asked him who the Giants were going to pick. And he said Eric Flowers.
Okay.
And I hadn't seen Eric Flowers on any mock drafts at all to that point.
Well, actually, hold on. The week leading into the draft, the last 3 or 4 days of the draft, there were a lot of people who started going to Flowers. He wasn't.
Okay.
He was not an unknown as you got closer to the
pick. But you're right, though. From, like, mid-February to mid-March, Flowers was not in the conversation.
No.
But in the last week, he did pop up a little bit. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. So I called Bob again today, and I asked him who the number one pick was going to be. I just want to see his opinion. And he was with Solomon Wilcots. And he said Jack Conklin. And it was funny. I was asking the guys, I want to get your opinion. I know you've talked about it. Conklin has, like, risen so much up on the boards over the last 3 weeks compared to Stanley. And they went kind of toe-to-toe about the difference between Stanley and Conklin. Conklin more of a road grader, huge right tackle. If you're going to keep Eric Flowers at left tackle, he's the guy. Maybe really help the run game a little bit more initially than Stanley would.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
However, if you're nervous about Eric Flowers really being a left tackle, they would go Stanley.
I agree with all that.
But they said Jack Conklin. The only two guys that they said they might choose over Conklin would be if there was any crazy way DeForest Buckner dropped down. And or it's funny, you just talked about Miles Jack, if there was any way Miles Jack dropped that.
I think, Rob, I actually heard your call because I'm actually next door when Bob's doing a serious show, believe it or not. I think he also said he really likes Vernon Hargreaves if you drop down there, right?
They really do.
And you want to throw another one into the mix if somehow Tunsil drops to 10.
Oh, will you shut up, Paul? Don't start that now. Don't start that with me. That's bad enough. Stop. Ignore him, Rob. Ignore Dottino.
He's not dropping. He's not dropping.
Listen, Paul, the one thing I got to say that I totally agree with you about is I think the Giants have more faith in these young guys at safety who all got just decimated last year. But I think they have more, you know, we have so many needs, right? We got to get the slot corner. We got to get a tackle. We got to get a receiver. We're so weak at receiver. I mean, that second round pick or third round pick has to be a receiver. And linebacker. We haven't even talked linebacker. So I think of all those choices in the first four rounds, I have a feeling they're leaning towards staying with some of these younger safeties and seeing what happens in training camp with someone dropping off a roster. But my question for you is the following. Ben McAdoo, young coach, he's in the draft room. He's been watching the defense being taken care of a bit in the offseason, more work to do. Do you think he's going to be chomping at the bit to get an offensive player with that first pick, or don't you think that's really going to happen?
You know what? You would think he would be, but honestly, and Paul, I'd like to get your opinion on this too, McAdoo is such a team-oriented guy, and I think he understands nothing will make his offense look better than a defense that can get people off the field and actually get his offense onto the field, and I think, honestly, Rob, that's a big part of it. I think he's going to want the best player possible because in the end, if the Giants win games, the head coach looks good. He doesn't care if he wins on offense. He doesn't care if he wins on defense. Would he love to, you know, bring in another Odell Beckham or something like that? Yeah, I'm sure he would. But I don't think that guy's going to be on the board when the Giants pick at 10. So I think he's going to say, get the guy that can help me win the most games, and I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, I'm with John on this. I don't get the opinion from Ben McAdoo that he's one of those head coaches that strongly favors the side of the ball that he came from.
Rex Ryan.
There you go.
What?
I don't see it. Nope. I just don't.
Got it.
I see a guy who is very methodical, who understands the entire picture, and realizes that if we get better, we get better.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on the, quote, favorite side of the ball. I don't see that from him.
Thanks, Robbie.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the call, my friend. And I want to go back to something you said in the middle of that call, and I sense the same thing he does. It seems to me, and I don't know how you can come to any other conclusion based on their lack of activity and free agency at the position, they seem to be willing to go to war with the safeties they have in the room.
That's all the evidence we have to this point, is
exactly.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And unless there was something that happened between them and a veteran safety that fell through that we don't know about, to my knowledge, they were not in any type of aggressive pursuit of one of those guys.
There weren't any reports that they were.
None. Yeah. None. So the evidence seems to indicate they're hoping that one of those young guys, and let's just say this, they were high on Burhe. Mm-hmm. They really liked drafting Thompson. And, you know, it's not like anything happened to these guys differently in terms of their skill scouting report. Now, their medical scouting report changed.
Yeah, but a lot for some of them. I mean, Michael, a torn Achilles tendon is a serious injury. Bennett Jackson. Micro fracture ACL, serious injuries. And Burry hasn't gotten on the field in a year.
Medical issues, absolutely.
Right.
But in terms of how they were scouted for their skill sets, the Giants are putting a lot of faith in those skill set reports.
Right. The question, though, is do those injuries affect the overall athleticism?
We're only going to find out when they get on the field.
Well, yeah, because we don't know either. No. Because Thompson and Bennett Jackson are still rehabbing. I don't think either guy is doing everything on the field yet, as far as I know. We'll know when they get to OTAs. But, you know, usually an ACL recovery before you start doing stuff is going to be 9 months, right?
Yeah.
And it hasn't been 9 months since August.
Yeah. I would have preferred them have gotten a veteran free safety in free agency.
Close. You know what? It's actually close to 9 months for Bennett Jackson.
Yeah, it is getting close now.
We're
right.
Close, actually.
But I will say this, as much as I'm disappointed they didn't grab an Eric Weddle type, I would also say this to you. If, as they go through the summer and then they get to August and they don't see what they need to see out of any of those young guys, they'll look at that waiver wire, and I'm sure that some veteran is probably going to spring free at the end of August.
Well, remember, too, they brought Stevie Brown in August. They brought Jeremy Miles in, I think, in July, if I'm not mistaken.
And then, of course, Merriweather was the last minute.
And Merriweather, of course. That's right. Vincent. I'm sorry, Paul.
No, last minute addition.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Vincent, New York. He's up next. Vincent, what's up?
Hi, guys. First off, love the show.
Thanks, Vince.
Great.
there's a bunch of scenarios that can go down, and because the Giants are in a very awkward spot in the 10 pick, because we're in that spot in the middle where all the good players, pretty much the six or seven solid guys that you know can start day one, they should be gone.
Well, no, Vincent, just real quick, I wouldn't call them the six or seven solid guys. I would call them the six or seven maybe elite talents. I think you can get solid starters after the top seven, but go ahead.
That's fair. I think ideally for us, I think the ideal pick is Hargreaves to fall down to 10. That might not be possible for him to get past the Eagles.
Might not, or the Bucks for that matter.
Yeah, very true. I think Hargreaves is ideal for us because with him, DRC, and now Janoris Jenkins, I think that would really round out our secondary. I think our safeties are fine, to be honest. And if we do look at any, it would be in later rounds. I don't think a first or second round safety would be smart.
I agree with that.
There's just too much that we need.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Other than Hargreaves, I do think that if Hargreaves is gone and Ezekiel Elliott falls in our lap, I don't see the Giants not drafting him because they have a tendency to pick best player on the board, or they look to trade back, because ideally that's what I would want to do, because where we are is to trade back.
The question is, who will be on the board at 10 that somebody else is going to want to trade up for? Now, you can maybe talk about a Miles Jack dropping. I mean, I guess maybe if one of the quarterbacks drop out of the top, nine, which I don't think is going to happen. I just don't know who a team's going to want to trade up for. You know what I mean?
I don't think Jack would fall to us. I don't think he'll fall that far. I think the farthest he'll fall is maybe the 8. But if Jack does fall to us, I think we'd take him in a heartbeat. I think his talent is just too good for us to pass up. Jack falling to us, yeah. I think trading back is probably the best situation because there's a bunch of guys in rounds 2 and 3 that we can fill a bunch of holes. Offensive tackle, I think Taylor Decker is going to go in the second round. I think he's super solid. I think we can take him there. I don't think we need to reach for a Conklin or a Ronnie Stanley, who I think, to be honest, is a little overrated.
All right. Jerry Reese has never traded a first-round pick or four first-round pick in his tenure as a GM. I get you.
He has actually never traded back, as far as I can recall.
I mean, the only deals that he's ever made and as high as he's ever gone was second round when he did the Collins deal last year.
Yeah.
It's not like him to do anything with the first round. And even, again, he doesn't like doing the second round very much either. So it would be against
too high.
It'd be against his nature
right.
to do something like that. Now, I joked with John a couple of months ago when, if Ezekiel Elliott's there at 10, what are you doing? And I said, trade out, because I'm not taking him. And if somebody really wants him that bad, I'm answering the phone because they may give me something really good.
And Elliott might be the guy that someone would trade up for.
Somebody might do
and
that.
And I think Miami would.
You know?
They might.
But I would say this. I do believe that there are enough of impact premium players available at the positions that the Giants need that there will be somebody there at 10 that they really need to grab. I really do believe that.
Vincent, we got to run, pal. Thanks for the call.
All right, thanks, guys.
I got one more call I want to get in before the show.
Go.
Wraps up, and that's Mike in Florida. Mike, you're up next. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Hey, is Will Beatty still available for the Giants? And if so, would the possible scenario make sense to you guys? Put Beatty in at left tackle, move Flowers over to right, and then the Giants look for other needs. And I'm not optimistic about JPP being able to close the deal. And by that I mean I think he can be disruptive, but I don't necessarily see him being able to grab runners or to even grab quarterbacks and bring them down. So I'm looking for a disruptive defensive lineman. What do you guys think of that scenario?
I applaud your creativity, and if you had asked me this question before they let William Beatty go, I said, yeah, I would consider bringing him back and have him play left tackle and move Eric Flowers over to the right side. I would have been fine with that.
Right.
However, I don't see them bringing him back after they cut him. I just don't see it as a realistic situation.
And from what I understand, he's still rehabbing his rotator cuff.
Yeah, he's not ready yet.
I mean, I don't even know what his medical status is, if that's even a possibility.
I believe I saw a story where he said he's going to start shopping around for teams in June. And that because that's when he's going to be able to work out for teams.
It's late April.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I don't think it's likely. I'm with John. But there is a medical question anyway that overrides anything regarding him.
Right.
As far as the defensive lineman situation, I think that's why the Giants went out and got Olivier Vernon, because they're thinking now between those two guys, this is a combo deal for me. And I mentioned this to Lance yesterday, and I'm going to ask you right now. If I said to you right now, forget about who's going to have more. If Vernon and JPP can combine for 25 sacks, are you okay with that?
Oh, I'll sign up for that in a second. What are you kidding me?
All right, if they combine for 20, you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay with that, too.
Absolutely.
All right, and there you go. Now, Vernon's had 11.5 before. That was his career
now,
high.
Keep in mind, they combined last year for like 8.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm going to sign up for 20.
But, I mean, JPP's had 16.5 before. That's his career high.
Yeah, but...
And Vernon's career high was 11.5.
Yeah, but 16.5 seems like an anomaly.
Okay, so I'm going to say they're not going to get close to 30. Let's back off of that.
I think 25 is the top end.
But could they combine for 22? And if JPP has only 8 of those and Vernon has 14 of them, or it's 12 and 10?
Yeah, you get very happy about that.
I'm fine with that, right?
Absolutely.
So does
yes.
it matter
Correct.
If JPP's the number one guy and closes the deal all the time? I don't know that that's that big a deal.
Well, what you don't want, though, is for him to have opportunities and not be on
Well, that's
both.
True.
Right.
But you'd like to think that even if he funnels him into Vernon, that works.
Right.
And you'd like to believe that they've upgraded their linebackers with the guys they've added, and hopefully the health of Devon Kennard.
Right.
So that should kind of help their tackle numbers, too. I guess what I'm saying to you is JPP's hand is never going to be the same, but does it have to be? I don't know that it has to be the same for him to be effective and to help this overall defense.
That's a good question.
Well, that's an excellent question, Paul, because I agree that with everything that you just said, I do think that the Giants need to look for cornerbacks. I don't think they need to look for safeties. I think you've got to take a little bit of a gamble and assume that the safeties' health issues will resolve themselves or are in the process of being resolved, and to look for a cornerback. So my other choice then would be for a cornerback in the first round.
And I have no objection with that, as
Thank
we've
you,
talked about.
Appreciate the call, man.
Appreciate it. You know, again, I'm even considering Eli Apple as a possibility there because I am that concerned about getting another cover corner. But he mentioned defensive end. John, again, we've talked about Shaq Lawson for months. I don't have a problem with adding a pass-rushing defensive end either. You know, I really don't.
No.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Or, frankly, a pass-rushing defensive tackle that can get to the quarterback either.
So, the good news, Mike, is that at pick 10, they should get somebody pretty good.
All right, I got two pieces of news for you, folks. One, this just came down. Dave, I can read this, right? This is official? All right, I just want to make sure I don't want to, you know, get called upstairs.
Okay.
Tight end Larry Dedell signed a contract with the Giants today after receiving clearance from the team's medical staff to resume his career. Dedell suffered a neck injury on November 1st in New Orleans and did not return to the field in 2015. He was inactive for 4 games before being placed on injured reserve on December 8th. So that is good news.
How about that?
Like
so signed,
that.
Signed and cleared.
Signed and cleared.
Good stuff.
Now, this is kind of a off-the-field type of thing, but I suppose it's Giants-related because it's Michael Strahan news. Michael Strahan is leaving Live with Michael and Kelly. He will be full-time on Good Morning America. He's grateful that he, you know, they have the time with her. Obviously, they did a great job, and now they're going to have to try to find another replacement to work alongside her after they lost Regis. Now, of course, Michael's moving on. He still will be on Fox NFL Sunday. You know, I'm not a Good Morning America guy. I usually have Today Show on when I wake up in the morning.
Okay.
That's be what I've always watched growing up. We were an NBC family. So I put on GMA like last week or a couple weeks ago because I heard the story was on. They had a million people on that show. Have you ever watched Good Morning America? There's like
no.
a bajillion people on that show. They go from one person, another person, another person. There's like 18 people. They're all over the place.
I can only say my parents will be devastated. They love Michael Strahan, and they love Michael and Kelly in the morning.
They can still see him on Good Morning America.
Yeah, but not at 9 o'clock anymore.
I imagine Paul Dottino's parents are early birds, though.
Do you know, though, I can't even call them on the phone.
Oh, is that true?
Between 9 and 10 o'clock.
Oh, they're locked in.
When I do, okay, Mom will answer the phone, say hello. Okay, Paul, can Dad call you at 10?
Seriously?
They call back. They call back.
And I often see Strahan in my neighborhood. I live on the Upper West Side, and the ABC Studios, where they film that,
yes,
is on down on 67th on Columbus. So I see him walking around the lot. There's a place up there that has a salad named after him. He frequents the neighborhood.
Just good stuff.
But so no more Live with Michael and Kelly. Now it's going to be Live with Kelly and question mark. They'll figure that out, and then he's bound Good Morning America, and Larry Donnell is cleared. So good news all around. We like to hear that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Larry Donnell's good news. He's a good guy, and we're glad to see that he's medically cleared.
And for more info on the Strahan move, you can go to Giants.com/lifestyle for more information later today. And tomorrow, it'll be Anita Marks and I. We'll have Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus, who breaks down all the tape of the college kids. We'll have a chance to talk to him, get into some of the nitty-gritty details of some of the people that had been mocked to the Giants at 10. So tomorrow will be a lot of detail-oriented stuff, guys, on the Giants' first-round pick, and maybe a couple of the guys in the second round, too, that we'll get into. So we'll focus on that tomorrow, because Steve's thing is that he watches all the tape of the guy. So he knows what's going on the field. So that's what we'll focus with him tomorrow. And then we'll also talk about the Kiper McShay ideal mock drafts. Dan Salamone, our excellent writer on Giants.com, we'll have an article up on that later on today as well. But for now, Paul Dottino and I will say goodbye. We're not going to be back together again until Friday night of the draft, in which case we'll have a live show on Giants.com from 7 to 10. Then we'll have our Saturday morning show as well. Hopefully both of us will have our voices at that point from all the yapping we're going to be doing.
Depends
on Friday night.
Depends on who
night.
We pick.
Yeah, I suppose so. But me and Anita tomorrow, and then we'll wrap up, of course, next week. I'm off to Chicago next Wednesday. But we'll have shows every day at noon on Giants.com as the Giants get ready to make their draft picks in 2016. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com, everybody. Have a fantastic afternoon.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.